who I thought was supposed to be my life partner. I'm not even, you know, I lost everything I worked hard for.
Where are you sitting with him right now?
I talked to him today.
Is it just somebody that you're going to love regardless, or are you a little upset with him for putting you in this situation? How do you feel?
Of course I'm upset with him, but like, I don't believe in kicking people when they're down. Everyone's like, why would you still communicate with him? Why would you even care about him? You got to worry about yourself. You have to focus on you. And that's true. But at the same time, like, I don't believe in the way my loyalty is set up and the way my heart is set up. Like, someone that's made sure I was straight for so many years, regardless of anything else, like, the person was there for me when my father passed. We have a lot of history. So
I don't throw that away.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard for me. And, you know, today he was just like, I don't know, this might be the last time I talk to you for like a really long time.
The following podcast is a Carolina Boys production. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Crime and Entertainment. I'm your host, Hollywood Wade. Now, today we have an interesting story because I was recently in New York over the weekend, and I was in Club Tao and happened to bump in to a group of ladies that was talking to a group of guys that I was with. One of them heard that I did a podcast, and she was like, I got a story for the podcast. And I'm like, all right, well, everybody's got a story. It's just a matter of if it's interesting enough for people to want to hear it. And she proceeds to tell me that in less than 72 hours time, she's going to be turning herself into federal prison for a conspiracy drug charge. And I said, well, that's going to pique the interest. Give me a little bit more detail. As she started laying out this story, I was like, all right, you know what? Stop. Let's set it up for Monday, because she had to turn herself in Tuesday for 42 months, a little over 3.5 years there, right around 3.5 years. And we recorded on Monday. As we were recording, like less than 24 hours at that time, she would have been, by that time, then incarcerated. So let's get right into the story here with Jamila Thomas on Crime and Entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Crime and Entertainment. Now, just proves that you can get a story and a podcast out of nowhere, because I was in New York City this past weekend. I was with a few friends of mine, and we were, what club was that? Tao?
Tao.
But that was actually the restaurant portion of it.
The restaurant, yeah.
And so we go in there. I think a friend of mine sparked up a conversation. The fact that I do a podcast come up, and you kind of, eyes got kind of big, and he was like, I got a story for you. It would be a good one. And so you start filling me in a little bit. And sadly, by the time people hear this story, because I've got to edit it, post it up, by the time people hear this story, you have been turned yourself in to begin in a period of incarceration. Is that correct?
Correct. Today is actually my last day as a free woman.
Last day. So you got to turn yourself in tomorrow. What time?
About 2 p.m. So Alderson, West Virginia.
And that, I'm assuming you're already there now?
No, I'm still in D.C. just visiting my family.
Okay.
And we're going to drive up there tomorrow.
Okay, so you're going to drive up there tomorrow.
Yep, we're leaving at 6 a.m.
Well, first off, I want to wish you luck going in there. Have you ever been incarcerated before?
I've done like county, like, you know, like dumb stuff. Like,
yeah,
got arrested in the fucking Bahamas, shit like that, like dumb shit. Like, so no, I've never done more than 3 days in jail.
Okay. So a little overnighter, over weekend type deal, but nothing about what you're fixing to experience right now.
No.
All right. So we're going to get into what kind of got us here. The situation surrounding it, because that's even kind of got a wild tale down it. You was telling me about some of the codees. So we're going to get into all that, but first let's just start back from the beginning. Where did Jamila come up at? Where'd you grow up?
So I grew up, in North Carolina. Initially I was raised by my grandmothers. My parents were both in the military, so I was a military brat. Nothing too crazy about my childhood, except the fact that, like, you know, grew up in like in the 90s. So it was like the crack era.
What part of North Carolina?
Winston-Salem.
Winston-Salem. I got some people up there. I used to go to a wrestling event they had every year at the Benton Convention Center in Winston-Salem. I don't know. I just know it's in Winston-Salem. There's not, as you very well know, there's not much else in that town. So, but they have it every year. My son was a wrestling fan when he grew up. I was, of course, a wrestling fan when I was younger, and they would have that every year right after Thanksgiving. It's a pretty big convention center. I'm assuming that's where they would do concerts or something along those lines. There can't be but so many places that big in that town. It's not very big at all.
Exactly.
So when did you move from Winston-Salem?
When I was like a kid, like 7 years old. My mom, she came back from Korea. So we moved to the D.C. metro area. I graduated from high school, went to college, got my master's, and then I moved to L.A. when I was about 23 years old.
So what did you get your master's in?
PR, public relations.
Okay. Now, what was your goal when you went to L.A.? What were you setting out to do?
I wanted to work with celebrities. I wanted to do like fashion PR, media, you know, entertainment PR.
Right. I mean, that's always fun. I think it's, I get to do a scaled down version of that with this podcast. I get to talk to interesting people that have been, you know, on TV, on movies, just, you know, social media stars, things like that. It's fun to get to know people and to be able to say you had a conversation with them. So I can see the appeal of that. So you go to LA. How did that work out for you? What avenues did you try? You know, tell us a little bit about LA.
I love LA, first of all. So there I kind of got my real estate license. I got started getting involved in real estate. I met some really great people.
Did any avenues open up for what you were trying to do, or it was just you just kind of went with real estate hoping that would pop off?
I kind of went with real estate, and then I kind of got like distracted a little bit, you know, with that LA lifestyle. I started having a little bit of fun.
Yeah. That can happen. I just went to LA. I think I told you the story, but I just went to LA about a month ago, and I was just, I'm sure there are better places. I was just underwhelmed, at least the area that I went, as far as the nightlife goes. It was different.
Yeah. I told you, I got to take you. I take you. It's fun.
All right. Well, I have to trust your judgment because I was very disappointed, at least the areas that I went into.
No, it's fun.
So how did you get back and get involved in the situation that we're talking about right now?
Love.
So was this somebody back home, or did you meet there and y'all decided to move back, or did this happen in LA?
This happened in LA. The case was actually out of Brooklyn. My ex, my Cody, he's from New York, but I met him on the East Coast. So he's been like a longtime friend of mine.
Where'd you meet him?
I met him in Miami.
So he's from Brooklyn. You met him in Miami.
He's from Queens. I met him in Miami at Club Live, like back in 2000, like years ago, probably like 11 years ago.
Okay.
So I've known him for a very long time. And then I ran into him again in LA, and then we kind of just picked up where we left off, you know?
Y'all just bumped into each other, or he got in contact with you? That's a big ass city. Just bump into somebody.
It was All Star Weekend.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And I ran into him All Star Weekend in LA, and then we kind of picked up where we left off.
Okay. Now, we mentioned that you're going to be turning yourself in. It's a conspiracy charge, drug related. Was he in the game?
No.
No. Okay. So fill us in on how we're here. What is the story on how we're here?
Ooh. Where do I start? You want me to start when they came to my house, or?
I mean, we'll start from the beginning. I guess, are you saying that he's innocent, or he didn't have anything to do with it, or you didn't know? What's the story?
I do want to say that he has pled guilty. So he was sentenced to 182 months, which is about roughly 15 years.
Right.
The case is the drug conspiracy, and it involves the U.S. mail.
Okay, so they're alleging that he was using U.S. mail to send and receive, I'm assuming, or distribute?
Yes, to distribute, to send and receive. narcotics.
Okay, so we're under the 10-minute mark, and I know YouTube monitors certain names that you say, so I'm assuming, I'm just going to take a wild guess, was this a powdery-like substance? Okay. Mm-hmm. So anybody that's watching this ought to be able to piece it together. What would you say?
Very popular in L.A.
Yes, very popular.
Very popular in L.A.
So you're saying, or they're saying he allegedly did this, and you, I mean, can you confirm this? You deny it? Where are you sitting?
Well, I denied it. Like, obviously, like, I denied it because I didn't even know that he was involved in that. Mm-hmm. The entire time, it's so freaking crazy. I thought that, you know, he was dealing marijuana.
Okay, so you knew he was dealing drugs, but you didn't know the exact specifics of what he was doing.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I thought it was marijuana.
Isn't that legal over there, though? Or was not at this time?
It's legal in California, but on a federal level, which is why these fucking laws are dumb. When you think about it, because marijuana on a federal level is still an illicit substance.
Okay. And so I'm assuming how does this, the bus go down? I'm assuming they're probably monitoring him.
Oh my God. Sorry. I'm going to have to edit this. How did the bus go down?
Yes.
Oh, it's crazy. So, they were monitoring. I read my, indictment. It was a 9-month investigation. Mm-hmm. So it started, with a mailbox.
Okay.
It was
so
actual.
Now I got to ask before we get too deep into that, a 9-month investigation, this is going on. I'm assuming he's using this probably as his primary means of distribution. You, again, I want to preface this. You kind of have an idea what's going on. You just don't know what exactly is being sent in these packages, or did you not want to know? That's a difference.
You sound like that honestly was the entire reason why my attorney told me don't take it to trial, just because it was like a 9-month investigation.
Yeah.
And I was seen on camera repeatedly, like maybe a few times, taking packages to the post office.
Ah.
So he was just like, it's no way I could take this shit to trial.
Yeah, that would be difficult. Especially if they can prove that every time, you know, it was what it was. Was he selling to people that were undercover, or people like, I've known people that were selling, literally people would sell stuff on the dark web and cops would set up accounts and buy stuff from people. How did they know he was doing it?
A post office mailbox. Again, it was a postal master that came to my house. It was a postal master and, the Homeland Security that came to my door. Apparently, it all started because it was a mailbox. Someone had opened up a mailbox that he was using, and they used a fake ID to open the mailbox. So I guess, like, when they were doing an audit of the mailboxes or doing an audit or whatever the case may be, they found out that the ID that was used to open up the mailbox did not belong to, like, a valid New York address.
Okay.
So this prompted like an entire investigation.
But that was him. He was just using a fake ID.
I don't even think it was him. I think that he had someone open the mailbox.
I got you. Somebody else outside of his name opened up the mailbox.
Yeah,
he was just using.
I didn't think it was him. I just think he was just using the mailbox.
I got you. All right. So he got somebody else to open it, unaffiliated with the situation. He's using it to do his deeds. And once they figure out that the actual person that opened this mailbox isn't a valid driver's license, that prompted suspicion into maybe what this was being used for.
Like what were in these packages? So, again, and all this is public information. This is like coming directly from my indictment. They seized the package.
Okay.
So apparently, I guess with the feds, so when they seize one package and it goes based off of weight.
Right.
So they seized one package and the contents of that package is what they assumed every other package was after this investigation.
Because whether it was that amount or not, they're just going to put that on
you. Yes, they're just going to put that on you. And then, against the entire indictment. And that's what I was asking my attorney. I'm just like, how can they allege that, you know, that every single package, so they're saying that it was 70 keys sent throughout the length of the entire indictment, right?
Damn.
So it's just like, how can you guys allege that based off, he said based off the weight. So what they do is they keep, he was using USPS. So what they did is they keep the weights, like the,
right.
every package that was sent. It was so many receipts. I don't know how, like, I don't know how they had this information, but when we were looking over my discovery, they had so many receipts, like, with tracking, and every single package weighed the same amount. So they look back on that and they're like, since every single package that was sent that this weighed this amount, they assume that every package contained the same thing based off of that one package they seized.
Well, now, if you guys shipped it, or he or whoever, and you said you did it a few times too, if it was the same amount every time and they go based off weight, at least my experience of mailing non stuff like you're talking about, you're going to pay by weight. So if it's the same thing every time, then every receipt you had should have been the same amount. If they weren't, then that would have been a good enough reason to say, hey, you can't really put the same number on everything. Because, I mean, if you'd have, you know, 100 receipts for $25 a piece, I'm just using that number as an example, you know, then I could see them being able to do that. But if they're all different amounts of payment, then that would mean they were different weights. Or were they all the same amount?
According to them, it was all the same amount. According to them, it was the same amount, which is how they were able to estimate the amount. Even though, keep in mind, they didn't find anything on me. They didn't even have a warrant to search my house.
Right, because that wouldn't have been able to be given to them by Homeland Security and the post office. They wouldn't have the authority to come in and do that. When they come to you, what did they ask you?
They knocked on my door. This is when I was living in LA. They knocked on my door. And let me just preface, I thought it was unusual that my boyfriend hadn't called me that morning. Mind you, like, when he was on the East Coast, he'd call me. We have a routine. Like, you know, you've been dating someone for so long. You have a routine. Like, he would call me, like, my time. Like, he'll call me, like, by 8 a.m. West Coast time. Mm-hmm. Because I had to be, I was working from home.
Right.
So I would be, like, logged in to work by 9. So we had a schedule. He'll call me at 8 a.m.
Right.
He didn't call me at all. So I called him. I'm like, okay, maybe he's at the gym. I didn't see nothing of it. I hear a knock at the door. I'm, like, about to get in the shower and get ready to log on for work. Hear a knock at the door, and it's like an Asian guy, like a weird fucking looking Asian guy. I'm like, oh, hi, like, what's going on? And he's like, yeah, I think I hit your car in the parking lot. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You hit my car in the parking lot. And he's like, you drive a white Mercedes, right? And I'm like, what? Like, how do you even know what? You know what I'm saying? It wasn't making sense. I try to close the door in his face. And he's like, you're Jamila, right? And I'm like, yes. And then that's when they pushed in, and they were like, you're under. I'm like, what? What do you mean? And it was him, and then it was the postal inspector. Can I say her name?
Yeah.
Her name was Kimberly Holly. I just remember her name because she was like a black lady, like an older black lady. And she was trying to get at me, like, off this sister girl shit. And she was pissing me off so fucking bad because they kept trying to get me, like, you know, she was like, oh, we already arrested your boyfriend and his other girlfriend earlier today in New York. So it's no need to call anyone. And I'm like, excuse me?
Ooh. All right. So she's trying to get you fired up, evidently.
Yes. And she told me, because I'm confused. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Right.
At this point. Like, I'm just like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about.
So let me unpack a few things here with that. Your boyfriend is back living in the East Coast. Was this a long distance relationship you guys had, or would he just go back from time to time?
He's bi-coastal. So we had a place together in LA, and then he lived with his child's mother, who was the other co-defendant, in New York.
Okay. So bi-coastal. I don't think I've ever heard that term before.
You ever heard bi-coastal?
I just went to the West Coast. I'm 40 years old. So no, I've never heard the term bi-coastal. So when he was with that's a little strange in and of itself, I gotta admit. when he's not with you in LA, when he's not living with you, he's staying with his baby's mom on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And you're okay with that?
I wasn't really aware of it.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get into. You weren't aware.
But, you know, I knew he had a child's mother, but he also had another apartment out there that I would come to when I would go out there. I'd never, you know, because I would visit him.
Okay.
And we would stay at the other apartment he had.
Right. So did you know that him and the baby's mom were like, did you think they were on good terms or no speaking terms, or what did you think they were at?
I knew they were speaking, but I didn't know that, like, you know, they were still like a thing apparently, you know?
Okay. Did it really matter to you?
Not really, because
you just strike me as a woman that's just doing her own thing in LA. So it, like, you're not going to be hung up what he may or may not be doing. That's just an educated guess.
Yeah, it didn't really matter because, you know, he was doing what he was supposed to take care of me.
Right. Okay. I got you.
So, like, I didn't have to worry about anything. My bills were paid. Like, it was just like, you know?
Okay. All right. So, I'm assuming that the woman he's talking about is the baby's mama. The woman that she was talking about, excuse me, is the baby mom.
The baby mother. Yes.
Okay. So, did they place you under arrest that day?
Yep. It was so embarrassing.
Who arrested you? Homeland Security?
They had a body worn for me.
Okay. I mean, Homeland Security, I'm assuming, could do it. I've never heard of a postal worker having that.
No, she was the postal inspector. Like, she's the postal inspector. Like,
even them, I don't think they have the duty to.
No, she doesn't have the arrest. She's the one that got the warrant.
Okay.
Because I Googled what postal inspectors do after, and apparently postal inspectors are responsible for basically finding people who commit crimes through the mail. That's their entire job. So she's the one who was able to go before the judge and get a warrant for all of us.
Okay.
Based off of her investigation and based off of her evidence.
So, and are you living in a house or an apartment building this time, or where are you at?
It was an apartment. So I'm just like, I'm trying to run upstairs. Like, I have a dog, like, before, like, I'm like, can I get dressed at least? Like, what the fuck?
Right. Did they let you get dressed? Sometimes they don't do that.
Yeah, they it was two women. So the guy stepped out and they let me get dressed. So I had a fucking towel on.
Right.
So they did let me get dressed. They did allow me to, call someone and let them know what was going on.
Okay.
And
you're getting taken out early morning here. I'm assuming, like you said, embarrassing as hell. Everybody's seeing you. Don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going on. It's probably
so freaking embarrassing.
Yeah.
So embarrassing. Embarrassing as hell. And then not only that, it's just like they asked to search my house. I'm like, no, you're not going to search my house. Like, for what? They didn't have a search warrant for my property. They only had a body warrant. Then he's like holding my cell phone up to my face. And I always tell people, like, whenever you do not have your cell phone on fucking the face thing.
Yeah.
Because if you get arrested, they can hold it up to your face as consent to go through your fucking phone.
Okay. So did they wind up getting a warrant to search your house?
No. Which is why I didn't think it was such a big deal. Like, I didn't think they really wanted me.
Right. They just, okay. All right. So did you lawyer up?
Yes. So initially I didn't think I needed like a lawyer. Like, I, you know, they assigned me, like, they gave me like, they took me down to like the MDC area, like the LA jail. I got bail. I was able to get bail the same day. My mom had to put her property up. It was a property bail.
Mm-hmm. Like a PR bond type thing.
Yeah, so mom had to put, like, which is why I could never, like, go on the run or anything like that. Because my mom
her house.
So, because I'm just like, of course, that's crossed my mind. All I can think of is like, fucking mom, like, bro.
Yeah, you can't do that to moms. You can't do that to moms.
I'm like, I'm right in LA. Of course, I want to drive my ass off to Mexico and get lost. Of course, I want to go across that damn border.
Hypothetically, if it wasn't mom's property put up, would you have, I mean, did you have the means to do that and stay over there? That's always a problem. Like people say, all right, I'm going to run. Then when you run, you realize you need money.
You need support.
Stay gone and support. Yes, 100%. And it's very hard.
Yeah. And I had to surrender my passport. All I had was a little passport. I had found my passport card. I still, because part of my pretrial, I had to surrender my passport. I had to do drug testing. So the judge was real cool. He was like, I would much rather you fight this thing from the outside than from in here.
Oh, well, that's good. It's a lot easier to do it that way.
That's what he was saying. Because again, me and her got bail.
Right.
He did not get bail. He's been in NBC Brooklyn. He was at NBC Brooklyn the entire duration of the case.
Okay. So how quickly did you make bail or bond?
Well, the same day, my mom.
Okay. So you done it the same day.
My friends had called my mom. Like, I was crying. My mom was just like, what do I need to do? They were like, does she have a property? Okay. Like, I have my house. Luckily, her house was worth something.
Mm-hmm. So that's, well, that's good. You were able to get out the same day. A lot of times you at least got to stay in there overnight, depending on how fast they process it. But the saving grace is they probably got you early in the morning. So you were able to kind of get everything processed.
They were there at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
They were right. They were there and ready at my fucking door at 8 a.m. So
they had that. They had that plan. They had that plan. What's next? You get out. I mean, do they tell you what they're charging you with at that point?
Yeah, the judge read the charges to me.
And what did they say?
He said it was two counts initially. Mm-hmm. Conspiracy of 10 kgs or more, mm-hmm. which was like a BC1 or something.
Right.
And then the second count was possession or something, but they ended up dropping it because it was stupid.
Yeah, I was about to say possession is kind of hard to prove if they didn't find it.
It's hard to prove, exactly. So they ended up dropping that when I pled guilty. I only pled guilty to one count of conspiracy.
And that's quite common that they put a lot of extra stuff on there, and then most of the time they wind up dropping all but one or two. You hear that a lot when people say, all right, they got, you know, 26 count indictment, but yet they only actually wind up pleading guilty to one or two of them. It's really just to beef the case up and make it look worse than it really is.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that only applies to you. That's a lot of cases. I mean, I just had a guy on not too long ago that was, I want to say, a 38-page indictment, and he only pled guilty to one of them.
Wow. And
obviously the one is the worst one, you know, so they're going to get you for the duration. And most of the time will run at the same time. So even if they find you guilty for all of them, if all of them are 10 years and they're running concurrent, you're still only going to do 10 years. It doesn't really matter. I mean, some of them, they'll put it where you got to do it back to back to back, which is a dick move. But so you get your, indictment, you know what they're indicting you for. You do get out. Your fella is still in jail. He's in Brooklyn now, in jail.
NBC Brooklyn, yeah.
He's in NBC Brooklyn in jail. Do you communicate with the baby's mom at all?
No, I don't even know her.
You never? Okay. So
we've never met, which is how I'm asking my attorney at this point. I'm like, how is it conspiracy if I don't know her?
So let me ask you a question. When you mail these packages, were they going to him from LA? Okay. So you weren't just mailing them to people randomly, you were mailing them to him.
Yes, I was always, yeah.
All right. So that's a little bit more of why they could probably put it to conspiracy. And if she was in the same house with him, that's why. If you were just mailing these out to random people, you know, buyers, for instance, whatever, I can say that you would have a little bit more deniability. You'd be like, I don't even know this person. I just mailed him something. But the fact that you're mailing it to him, I guess that's how they were kind of able to put that on you.
Well, got it. Well, they're saying because she worked at the post office.
Oh, the baby mama?
Yeah, she was a supervisor at the post office. So
this thing just keeps getting deeper. Okay.
So they're saying that is why. So basically, like, the lady, when she came, the postal inspector, She's like, so he had you mailing the packages, and he had her picking them up all the time, all while keeping his hands clean. I was like, okay.
Other than the fact that it ended badly, it sounds pretty smart. I mean, he did keep himself insulated. I'm sorry that kind of blew back on you. But he had somebody he didn't know open up the box. He had you mailing them and her picking them up because she was a supervisor. I'm assuming they probably picked her up at work too, I'm guessing.
No. Apparently they arrested them both that same morning at 5 a.m.
Ah, okay.
They came early for them, I guess, so he couldn't call me and let me know what was going on.
So obviously your first choice or first mode of thinking is you got to be, sitting down with your lawyer asking, what are you going to do? What's the plans? What's the charges? What are you facing? And what year is this? When did this happen?
So this happened in 2022. I've been out on bail for 2 years. This thing has taken 2 years of my life. And now it's finally time for me to face the music.
Well, I shared with you, my story, and it took five years to kind of come to fruition. So the wheels of justice do not turn fast for anybody. I can say that it's crazy because it's almost like a mental prison because you're out, you're able to enjoy your life, do your thing and have the freedom. But in the back of your mind, at some point, something's going to come to a point to where it's going
to
come to an end.
And you don't know what to expect. Like,
right.
You don't know if it's going to be the worst because it's the guideline, it's the range. So you don't know if it's going to, people don't understand, it's literally up to the judge with the federal shit.
Yeah.
You can 100%. Get a dickhead judge or you can get an easy going judge.
Right. The guy that you spoke with in the club, his name was Gene. He had a very good judge that was very lenient on him in one of his past cases. Had it been another judge, they could have probably given him, God knows, I don't know how many years. He was a repeat offender. He had violated his parole. I mean, they could have really put him under the jail for a long time. He was a former member of the mob. Like, he was a connected guy in the mob. I don't know if he told y'all that or shared you that with him, but that was his background.
No, he didn't tell it. He left it.
Yeah, he's been on the show before. I've got shows with him on there before. He's been all over podcasts the last few months. So it's not like I'm giving it out any kind of secret information. He's very open with it. Who he used to be. But that's how he had the background of, the prisons where you would go, arrested in New York, things like that. That's kind of how he had the know-how.
And see, he was right because initially they didn't give me a location.
Right.
So initially, I had to email BOP. I was calling after I got sentenced. So this is like probably too much information. I don't know. I got an extension because I told my attorney that I had some personal stuff going on that I had to take care of. So after I got sentenced, because the judge, she did like a 4-week turnaround.
Right.
For self-surrender. And I was just like fucking freaking out because again, anybody with shit going on, 4 weeks is not enough. She gave me a 4-week turnaround time, which I'm just like, first of all, I didn't even think I was going to get time. Like, I'm talking to my Cody through his friends and through him, whatever possible. And he's telling me, oh, you have nothing to worry about. You're going to get probation. You're going to get probation. My man said this. My man said that. You're going to get probation. So even my attorney, who, mind you, who was paid, well, he's a great attorney. His name is Jason Goldman, paid a lot of money for this guy. He's like, oh, I'm going to request probation. You should be fine. I'm going to wrote a letter to the judge. It looked amazing. I had over 30 character letters.
That's good.
I was not prepared to get jail time at all.
Yeah. I had to go through and get a lot of character letters in my case as well. And that speaks volumes, believe it or not, when people will write those letters, on behalf. So that's good. And I think I had like 3 days to get all my character letters together because it just so happens when I had to turn myself in, I don't know how it works in LA, but like the circuit court rotates county to county. So they'll be in one county for a week and then they'll be in another one and another one and another one. And then just constantly keep doing that. Just so happened the week I turned myself in, they were in my county. So we kind of had to push and go ahead and get me in front of to try to get bond. Otherwise I'd have had to sit a fucking month or however long it would have took 2 months, 3 months or whatever for him to roll back around. So it was kind of in a rush, but, you know, we kind of had to strike while we had the opportunity.
Yeah.
And so you, do you mind if I ask how much you, that lawyer charged you?
It was like 25, okay. Which is on the cheaper side for a federal case, but it was a lot for me.
Right.
Because it's just like, at this point, like, you know, my boyfriend was taking care of me. He's in jail. So I'm paying all my own bills now. I'm still trying to maintain in LA. I have to pay for a lawyer. I'm like completely depleting my resources.
Right. So at what point did you find out you were going to have to do time? And was that something that the lawyer, you know, came to you? It was like, you need to cut a deal. It's not worth going to trial. What was that conversation like?
So he told me basically, because I'm just thinking, he's like, you know, he's like, your guy pled guilty. And I'm like, okay. But I was like, I don't want to plead guilty. I'm like, I want to take the trial because I don't know how they can prove that I knew what was being sent in those packages. I'm like, they can't prove that I knew I was sending a narcotic. Because in my mind, I'm thinking like, you know, I thought I was sending marijuana.
Right.
He's like, yeah, but he's like, unfortunately, ignorance of the law is not really a good, he said, it's not a good defense.
Yeah.
He said, because of the fact that he was like, you know, the way he was explaining it to me, he was like, you know, of course, he's like, people do things all the time for their partner. Like, he's like, my wife asked me to take something to the mailbox. He's like, of course, I don't ask for what's in it. He's like, but you repeatedly did it. He's like, you did it. He's like, they have you on video doing it a few times.
Okay. So I got a question I want to ask. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to answer this, you don't have to. How would you get the packages to send to him?
He would give them to me. And say, hey, can you drop this off at the mailbox? Drop this to the post office.
Okay. So, well, I thought you were actually mailing some of them to him, though.
Oh, yeah, you know, he would be in town.
Okay.
Because we were dating.
So he would specifically tell you, hey, mail this to me when I get back home.
He would take me and like just send it. He would just like drop this off at the post office.
Okay. And it would just be there when he got back there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. All right. I got what you're saying. Okay. Because I was going to say, they're probably going to ask if I was kind of confused on the timeline that he was actually with you when this is going on. I would say that probably the question they would ask if you said you didn't know what was in it, it'd be like, where are you getting it? Yada, yada, yada. So that's even kind of more in your favor that he's prepping all this. He's doing all this. You're just the one
mailing it. Like, all I was doing, my partner asked me to do him a favor. He drives me to the post office. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure.
So now looking back here, what I would have liked if I was you,
mm-hmm.
was if he pled guilty, it should have been able to let y'all two walk.
Can't work like that.
Did he even try that, or do you don't know?
He pled guilty, and he said that like when he spoke to the judge, he told them that we didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, that ain't enough, though. You got to work that into the deal.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, you can't just say, I'm guilty, but they didn't know. You got to be like, I'll plead guilty. I'll say I did this, this, and this, but these don't get charged. Or they get the minimal charge and no jail time. Something along those lines. You can't ask for the favor after you agreed it and say you're guilty. It doesn't work. I mean, you can, but they're probably not going to fucking give it to you.
Right.
So, matter of fact, the podcast that I was up there doing, I did with a lady named Andrea Giovino.
Mm-hmm.
She was arrested for drugs conspiracy. They caught her on the phone moving drugs. They didn't want her specifically. They wanted her husband, who was the ringleader. Mm-hmm. So they arrested her. She was facing 10 years. She was going to lose her children. They were going to go in the foster system. And her husband, who was a known drug trafficker, took the rap, pled guilty in order for her to not get charged. So that's what I'm saying is he could have worked something out, or at least tried to try to make it where y'all two walked away from it, or at least got as little, you know,
backlash as possible.
Now, and I'm not saying he didn't try to do it. I don't know. I'm just saying that could have been something that could have been possibly been worked out, but evidently not, or we wouldn't be here talking about it.
Right.
So he's pleading guilty. Your lawyer says it's just a good idea to kind of take a plea yourself.
Yeah, he's like, because I was facing so much time. He was like, if you're only facing like 5 years or something, he was like, then yeah, by all means, I say let's take it to trial and like let's play on the jury sympathy.
Right.
You know, you didn't know.
Worst case scenario, you do 5 years, not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world. He was like, but 10 years. He's like, you're facing 10 years. He was like, if you get found guilty in a court, he was like, you're guaranteed 10 years. He's like, that's not a gamble you should be willing to take.
It's a crazy thing to think about, because I think everybody, you know, wants to have that philosophy, take it to trial. But that's why the court system has these high conviction rates, because of what we just discussed. And I think we talked about this. They're going to dangle, if you're facing a 10-year sentence and they dangle 3 to 5 in front of you, if you just plea, most people aren't going to take that gamble, because that's 10 years of your life you're going to lose. If you go, because it's almost like if you go and they find you guilty, it's like you're insulting their intelligence that you went that far. So they're going to give you the max in most cases. And you've lost, where if you just take the plea, you go in, you know, a couple of summers, couple of winters, you come home. And obviously nobody wants to do that time, but 3 is a hell of a lot better than 10, especially in the prime years of your life.
Absolutely.
And so when these district attorneys and all that, you hear this, oh, we got a 99% conviction rate. No, you don't. A lot of that's plea deals. It's not like you're going to court and fucking fighting it. Like, a lot of it is plea deals, and they're cut for people that, you know, are facing high sentences. A lot of people that are poor and don't have money to even get a paid attorney and have to get a public defender. Forget about it. That's even worse. Yeah. If you'd had a public defender, you'd have been screwed. That'd have been nothing. You'd have probably got 7, you know, that's my guess, at least 7. Yeah. The paid lawyer, I tell everybody, is all the difference in the world, man. If you have the ability to get a paid lawyer, it's money well spent, as long as he's, you know, good in his profession. And it sounds like yours was giving you pretty sound advice. Did he work the deal with, is he dealing with Brooklyn, even though he's in LA, or who's he dealing with?
He's at Brooklyn. His name is
Okay. All right.
His office is located in Brooklyn, and he's actually a really good lawyer. I know he did the best he could. So basically he worked the deal out for me. He was able to get me to do, so I talked to, you know, my co-defendant, prior to accepting the deal, because I had to do safety vows.
Right.
So in my safety vow statement, again, he was able to walk me through it, my attorney, and my attorney just basically explained, you know, what to say. And I told them, like, I didn't know what I was sending.
Right.
Like, the entire time, I'm like, I thought I was sending marijuana. That wasn't enough to get me off, but that was enough to satisfy the government with what they wanted to hear, because sending marijuana is still a crime.
Right.
And it still, you know, satisfied what they wanted, and it did lower my, if some new law had passed too, because initially my guidelines were really high.
Right.
Initially my guidelines were like starting off at 80 months or something.
Right.
And they passed a new law within the last 2 years for, I guess, first time offenders or something. Mm-hmm. And it lowered my guidelines to 70.
That's good. That's almost a year shaving off. Did your co-defendant take a similar deal?
She passed.
Before she ever had to make a deal, she passed?
She got sentenced. She didn't get sentenced. She kept pushing her sentencing date off.
Right.
So I got sentenced. I know she pled guilty, so she was going to get sentenced.
Okay. But she took a deal as well, though.
She took a deal. We all pled.
Okay.
He pled guilty first. Then I found out she pled guilty. Then I was just like, I don't have a leg to stand on at this point. Like,
how did she pass?
She was sick. Apparently she had sickle cell. That's what I'm saying. This case is just the craziest shit ever. And it sounds unbelievable. And it's true. So I got sentenced February 27th. She was supposed to get sentenced this month, from my understanding. Mm-hmm. But she passed like 2 weeks ago.
Jesus.
When I say the case is concluded, it's concluded.
Right. So he pled guilty. He's doing it. How long did he get? 15, you said?
15 years. He's in Otisville.
Otisville. That's in Connecticut, right?
Mm-hmm, New York.
Or New York.
Mm-hmm. He's in Otisville, like FC.
Oh, I'm thinking of Danbury. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's in a medium facility.
Okay. I think Otisville, where I heard that name, I think that's where George, you ever seen the movie Blow?
I love that movie, Georgia.
Oh, I think at the end of the movie, that's where they sent him at Otisville. When he got the 60 years at the end of it, I think that's where they sent him was Otisville.
Is it ironic? That's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. Not according to the charges. It's not.
I mean.
but it is a very good film. Johnny Depp played that well. And Boston George actually passed about 2 years ago. You know, I reached out to him. He was released.
I reached out to him. I love him.
I talked with him. I reached out to him on Instagram. He gave me his phone number. We spoke said, it was like a 5 minute conversation. I just told him, I'm like, man, I'm just starting a podcast. Your movie's amazing. Your story's amazing. I'd love to have you on. And obviously, you know, he's trying to make money. He's like, well, I'm going to charge, you know, X amount. I'm like, I don't care. Like just to have you on the interview is fucking, I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. And so he said, I'm not feeling very well. He said, give me a couple of weeks and circle back to me. And I got busy and it was about a month goes by and then I got the news that he passed away. So I hate that. I wasn't able to get to speak with him in an interview, you know, setting, but, you know, rest in peace to George Young. And that was a great movie. One of my favorites, personal favorites.
Mine too. Definitely.
So she passes. He's in the middle of his 15. You got sentenced in February. And I think you told me, but I'm not 100%. You got what do you call like a stay, a surrender, or what's the terminology for that? Where you get it pushed off?
So I got an extension. I got another four. So when she sentenced me, she said, you have a short surrender date. My original surrender date was March the 27th.
Okay.
I'm freaking out at this point. I'm like, this is not going to work. Like, because first of all, I didn't think I was going to jail. Mm-hmm. So I'm just thinking about my credit card bills. I'm thinking about my car, which is a lease. But like, you know, life shit that adults have to deal with. Who aren't going to jail, you have to tie your affairs in order.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, it's just so much, you know? So I was able, and then plus I had a personal thing that I was dealing with. So I had to get an extension for that.
Right.
Which he was able to grant. The judge was able to grant, thank God. So my new surrender date began April 23rd. But meanwhile, I don't even know where I'm going. So on top of that, because my attorney, he requested a facility on the East Coast.
Right.
So that my family
could visit
my family. But it's like at this point, like it's getting close. I just found out I had got the extension probably maybe about like 4 days before I was supposed to turn myself in. I found out that the extension was granted.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I still didn't know where I was supposed to go. They were just telling me that if you don't know where you got to go, I kept calling. I called the U.S. Marshals. I kept calling my preacher office and they were so rude. They're like, if you don't know where you're going, you're just going to have to drop yourself off to the U.S. Marshals, surrender to the U.S. Marshals, and you'll get transported. And I did not want to do that because I know that, like, I kept hearing horror stories about people that had to, like, self-surrender to the marshal. They take them to the local, how your friend was saying, they'll take you to NBC, and you will literally have to sit at, like, a local jail until you can, you know, get transferred.
Yeah.
Out. And you don't know how long that's going to be. Like, that could take weeks, that could take months. So I emailed BOP. I'm like, hey, I have the funds to like, you know, I was like, where am I being sent to? I was like, I have the means to take myself. So you don't have to use government money to transport.
Yeah.
Like,
plus you get a last little bit of, you know, time with your family in a car ride, at least, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, my family already went to the Sprinter. Like when they were planning on driving me up, like they hadn't told me anything. I literally found out where I was supposed to go. Probably 3 weeks ago, they pre-trial reached out to me and said, you've been sent, you're going to be seeking self-surrender to Alderson, be there by 2 p.m. West Virginia. I said, okay. Because I did not want to go that U.S. Marshal route at all. So I had been praying for that, like, please, it's fine, you know?
And how long is your sentence that you agreed to?
42 months.
42 months.
Mm-hmm.
Have you come to terms with you're going to have to go do that? I mean, mentally, that's a lot for somebody that's never been to prison or never been. I mean, obviously, like you said, a lot of people's gotten locked up, overnighters, DUIs. That's not a big deal.
Right.
No, you're going to have to do 42 months in prison. That's not an easy thing to come to terms with. How have you done that? And how are you right now mentally knowing that you're going to have to be turning yourself in tomorrow after this time. After this time tomorrow, you'll, you know,
I'm going to be in jail. Yeah. My life is going to be completely different.
Yes.
I've been crying. I'm not going to hold you. I have been fucking crying. Yeah, I've been crying. I've been very emotional. You know, everyone's like, it's just a camp. You'll be fine. It's just a camp. If Martha Stewart can do it, you can do it. Because it's the same place Martha Stewart went to.
Right.
But she got 6 months.
Yeah.
I got fucking 42 months. Like.
And plus, I mean, you heard them talk about it. The more, you know, high profile you are, the more favors you're going to get. I got to believe Martha wasn't doing hard, hard time in there.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's Martha Stewart. Come on now.
Yeah. And I mean, I've heard, I mean, if it's any consolation, I've interviewed a lot of guys that were in camps. It's obviously a lot better than, you know, other alternatives. So in a way you do have to take that as a blessing, even though you're
right.
Putting that in the same context of a sentence is kind of crazy. You know, it's a blessing to go to a camp, but it is a blessing to go to a camp over a you know, a big prison. That is, you know, you do have to appreciate that, even though it's still not a place you want to go.
So
you mentioned about a book that you're thinking about doing. I think if you do that and you use that time in there to kind of put that in motion, that'll be very good for you mentally to escape the fact that you are in there. Is that still something that you're thinking about doing?
Yes. Definitely is, just because I like to write. Mm-hmm. I like to read. I like to write. So I like the fact that you said it's a way to escape. And yes. I'm going to need to escape. Like, I mean, 42 months, 3.5 years is a long time without being, you know, with the outside world.
Yeah.
I pretty much lost everything. You know, I'm thankful I still have my family. I do have the support of the few friends I still do have. Mm-hmm. But I've lost money. I've lost my partner, who I thought was supposed to be my life partner. I'm not even, you know, I've lost everything I've worked hard for.
Where are you sitting with him right now?
I talked to him today.
I mean, is it just somebody that you're going to love regardless, or are you a little upset with him for putting you in this situation? How do you feel?
Of course I'm upset with him, but, I'm definitely upset with him, but like, I don't believe in kicking people when they're down. Everyone's like, why would you still communicate with him? Why would you even care about him? You got to worry about yourself. You have to focus on you. And that's true. But at the same time, like, I don't believe in the way my loyalty is set up and the way my heart is set up. Like, someone that's made sure I was straight for so many years, regardless of anything else, like, they, like, this person was there for me when my father passed. We have a lot of history. So
I can't throw that away.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard for me. And, you know, today he was just like, I don't know, this might be the last time I talk to you for like a really long time. So he just wanted to call and just tell me that he loves me still. And like, you know, like I said, it's hard to throw certain things away. And it's hard. A lot of people don't understand it. I've been getting a lot of people judge me for it.
Well, the one thing I'll tell you, and you can't take nobody else's feelings into account for a situation that you got to live and you got to deal with, because you know what you guys had, you know, the level right. of what it was, you know, he held you down, you know, he right. done everything right. And, you know, was it by means that, you know, was against the law? Seems that way, but that still don't take a fact that he was risking that time and he was making sure you were provided for, you know.
Absolutely.
So much in the game of that life is treachery and deceit and stabbing in the back and throwing people to the wolves. It, you know, it doesn't sound like he tried to throw you guys under the bus. You know, I don't know what kind of deal was worked out. Obviously that's between him and his lawyer. But it doesn't sound like he tried to sell you guys up the river. And you're right. When somebody does those kind of things for you, regardless of what happens, that's just something you can't just throw away and forget. So I can see that. I can see that. And I can see, you know, I can look at you when you talk about him, you get emotional. So I can tell that you know, still have feelings for him.
Yeah. So that's why it's so hard, because I really feel like I have nothing to show for this.
You know? Yeah. So you feel like you've lived your whole point, and I'm not going to break the rule of asking anybody how old they are, but you feel like you've worked everything to this point to now have to go give the next 42 months of your life, come out, and you're starting from scratch.
Exactly. Like I said, I have a freaking master's degree. Like I have my real estate license. I had a good life.
Yeah.
And I'm going to come home and have to start from ground zero.
You want to know what you're going to have, though, when you come out? You're going to have a story. You're going to have the ability to tell somebody, look, I had all this. I had a master's. Yeah. I was doing real estate. I was in LA. I had everything that a woman at my age and my, you know, certain time in their life would want. You know, the sky was the limit, depending on how far I wanted to go with it.
Right.
And look what making the wrong choice got me. You know, you mentioned when we were talking, you mentioned that you liked Ian Bick, and I've been a guest on his show. Shout out to Ian Bick. He's got a very similar story. He was, I don't know if you know his story in particular. Mm-hmm. Do you know about his story?
Somewhat. He opened the club, right?
Right. He opened up a club. Mm-hmm. I don't know it 100%, to be honest, but the mm-hmm. cliff notes was he opened up a club. He was taking money from investors to bring high profile acts in. I don't know whether the acts got canceled or whatever, but he didn't have the money to pay the investors back. So it was like a big financial thing is what he went to jail for. So, you know, was running one of the better clubs in Connecticut. Next thing you know, he's in jail, you know, for, I don't know his specific charges, but then he had to go in there and do his time. And he comes out and he has the idea to start this podcast. And, mm-hmm. you know, he uses that now to help spread awareness. And I think you even told me that you've reached out to people and told them what you're going into. And people have kind of shared, I guess, words of wisdom, or maybe just, you know, what to look forward to, what to expect, how to carry yourself, how to make it through. Is that's accurate?
It's a very small community of women that have gone through this.
Right.
So what I find women that have gone through this before are like, it's so intriguing to me. And it's so comforting to speak with someone because you know, only like I did the research, only like 8% of women are incarcerated.
Right.
So it's so rare. So I was looking on Instagram. I was putting like hashtag like federal prisons, like women in prison. I started finding like, you know, different women. I was DMing them and they were responding and they were just basically giving me like some advice.
Yeah.
So it has been helpful. And like you said, I like how you said, I'm going to have a story to tell and I want to be able to help others as well, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be another young girl down the line that, you know, sees something promising that that's they know is not right. They know it's illegal and they might, you know, get drawn in by the money, that it's easy money, or, you know, the flashiness of it all. Or mm-hmm. sometimes it's just not worth it.
No,
it's just
absolutely
not worth it. I know we live in an instant gratification society. Everybody wants things fast. You want what you see these celebrities have, rappers have. And it's just like, man, it's okay. You can do things the right way and it might take you a little bit longer, but nobody can take it away from you. You don't got to worry about your shit getting seized. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. And then it's yours.
It's yours.
It's the allure of that. Like you said, that quick dollar. It's there for a lot of people and a lot of people take it. You know, they say money is the root of all evil, and it's 100% true. That's probably never been a truer statement, but there's also, and I forgive me if I don't remember the exact verse of the Bible, but it also says, you know, for what does a man gain with the world, but he loses his soul. So you got to think of that too. I think when you get out, you're going to have a big future. You do this book and then you can parlay that into some sort of speaking engagement, maybe even a podcast yourself, have other women on that's had similar stories, share their story. There's an avenue. There's always a way to spin something positive out of something negative.
Right.
You just have to overlook, you have to search your way through. It's not always easy. It's so dark and, you know, it can seem so cloudy. You got to search your way through and find that light.
It's like you're finding the light at the end of the tunnel. Like literally, like I'm almost there, because the past 2 years, it's been hell. It's been hell about my partner. Like knowing that, like, I used to sleep with this. I went from seeing this person once a week for 5 years to sleeping alone. Never, I can't even call. Like, I'm going through so freaking much. And the one person that you know, you go through, you count on your partner to get you through things.
Yeah, you're ride or die.
Granted, we were talking, but him not being physically there was something that I didn't know how I was going to get through.
Right.
So I'm finally starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I just know, like, once I get in and I get adjusted, it's going to be okay. You know?
Yeah. Do you know, do y'all have, like, internet access in the camps? I don't know what the, what
yes.
y'all have.
So from what I learned, you can get the email, like iPads and stuff. Well, not like iPads, like little tablets. Mm-hmm. I'll have an email address, things like that.
So you'll be able to, like, will you be able to use the internet, watch YouTube and all that?
On the tablets, I think so. You can download music, yeah.
So you'll be able to watch, will you be able to watch this?
I'm going to have someone send it to me. I can't miss right. this.
No, well, you got to let me know where you want me to send it. I can email it, or you can give me a phone number or whatever.
I'm going to take your number down, actually. I'm going to add you, like, you know, to my people to call and just.
Okay. Yeah, do that. Do that. If you need to call and just holler at somebody, give me a call.
Okay.
And I tell you what I want to do. I want to be able to be one of the first ones to interview you when you come out and be able to kind of see what you've learned in that time, where your head's at, what you want to do. And if there's anything I can do at that point in time to help you, advice, point you in the right direction, maybe get you on a bigger platform, to share the story, I'll be more than happy to do that. I've been fortunate enough to make some connections with some guys with some big platforms. So I'll be more than happy to put you directly on one as soon as you get out
okay.
to tell this story. The only thing advice I'll give you is have what you want to do in place while you're in there. Mm-hmm. Have mm-hmm. it ready, then get out, then tell the story. That way the viewers have somewhere to go. Because if they don't have anywhere to go, you lose that opportunity for you to gain a following to whatever it is you want to do, whether it be book, podcast, or whatever.
Awesome. Thank you.
Jamila, I want to wish you the best of luck. I know this is a hard situation. It's going to be an emotional time, I'm sure, for you and your family driving up there tomorrow. You know, God bless you guys. Safe travels. And I can tell that you're a strong woman and you're going to do fine. It's the part of just being away from everybody that you love. I know is going to be hard. But as far as doing the time, I got to believe, I think you'll be okay with that. It's just going to be missing the people that you love.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate this. And thank you for giving me a chance to tell my story, just to speak about it. It's been very therapeutic and much needed.
Yes.
Like how we talked at times. Like, I don't know, it just feels better to share it now that it's over. Because, you know, sometimes you don't think you can get through things. But once you get through them, you're like, damn, I made it through that?
Yep.
So...
Oh, I know all about it. And when you said, like, when they said he does a podcast, you kind of looked at me, he's like, well, I got a story. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of people say that.
Yeah.
The story isn't really podcast worthy, you know what I'm saying? But when you started mm-hmm. talking about yours, I'm just like, yeah, I don't even want to hear much more. Like, we'll just save it for Monday. We'll save it for Monday.
You said save it for the podcast.
That's why I said, I don't want to know it all. You got to save some of it. We'll dive into it. So I want to tell you how much I appreciate you coming on. I know this is actually taking away time from your family that you want to spend. So I'm going to let you get back to it. You guys okay. enjoy your night. Have a safe trip tomorrow. We'll talk after we come off air, and I'll figure out ways that I can make sure people get in contact with you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Hollywood Wade. That was Jamila. And unfortunately, we are out of time. Everybody, please wish her luck on her journey. And we look forward to seeing what she's going to do when she comes out.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, boy, oh boy. I hope everyone enjoyed that story. That just proves that, you know, you never know what people are going through. I would have never thought, seeing that young lady out and about, that she had that on her mind and she was dealing with that. And that lets you know that people can carry stuff well, but, you know, deep down, it's still bothering her. Obviously, I know she's got a hard next 3.5 years, but I think just in the little time that I've met her and talked to her and we talked right on up until the point to where she turned herself in, I think when she gets released, she's going to do some major things. I think she's going to be able to help spread awareness to try to keep people from falling into situations like she was in. She now has a story, and it's her duty to share that story with the world and maybe try to help someone not wind up in the same situation she found herself in. So I hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope everybody heads on over to YouTube, like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Also, we're on all the regular audio apps as well, Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon. You can find us wherever you get your audio podcast. And of course, on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, wherever you can get your podcast. Share the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's really what helps drive us up the charts. Really kind of puts the word out there. Really give us a hand over here at Crabbin Entertainment. That'll do it for today's episode. I'm Hollywood Wade. That was Jamila Thomas. And unfortunately, we are out of time. See you next week on Crime and Entertainment.